From the pulpit of the Capital City Baptist Church, we present Pulpit Echoes, a ministry of Pastor Adam Thompson and the Capital City Baptist Church. I'd invite you to stay with us because at the end of the broadcast, we'll give you our contact information. And now with a message from the Word of God, here's Pastor Adam Thompson.
Philippians chapter 2 tonight, we'll read one verse, Philippians 2 verse 5. Let this mind, the mind of Christ, let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus. I want you to consider for a few moments tonight the mind of Christ that is supposed to be our mind, a mind that never knew any envy, any jealousy, any covetousness, never knew an impure thought, never knew rage, never knew wrath, never knew sin, never knew frustration, never knew impatience, never knew meanness, a mind full of love and compassion, a mind that was very long-suffering, a mind full of kindness, a mind that never focused on anything impure, a mind that never looked twice when it shouldn't have, a mind that dealt with a traitor and knew his heart and yet showed complete love. And over the course of 3 years, the disciples didn't notice any ill treatment toward that man that would later betray him and sell him for 30 pieces of silver. A mind so compassionate that although he was often sought for favors and used and then discarded, never felt any ill will towards any of those that were simply using or abusing his friendship. A mind so humble that he left glory, came to this earth, lived as a man, creator living as and with his creation. Let this mind be in you. Now we know the battle is for the mind because Paul was used to pen these words. And Paul tells us, go back with me in Romans chapter 7, about the battle for the mind. And as Christians, we know this is where the battle's at. Here's what Paul said in Romans 7, verse 21. I find that a law that when I would do good, evil is present within me. For I delight in the law of God after the inward man, but I see another law that in my members warring against the law of what? My mind. The battle is right there in my mind and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members. Oh, wretched man that I am. Who shall deliver me from the body of this death? Then he says in chapter 8, verse 5, for they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh. They that are after the spirit, the things of the spirit. And he goes on to say how we're supposed to not walk in the flesh, but in the spirit, have a spirit-filled mind. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind, what's God say about the carnal mind? It is what? Enmity with God, against God, for it's not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. How many say, Pastor, you don't even have to explain this. I understand this one. As much as I desire and as much as I know and as much as I want to make this happen, the battle always comes back to the mind. I'm going to give you a few simple steps tonight when it comes to having this mind, the mind of Christ. Number one, we should protect our mind. If you take a look at something that you love and value, like your family, now, all that you do there at your house is not just protect your physical possessions. This is about your family, the safety of your family. And then in general, whatever else you own. But think about all the effort that's put into protecting your home. Locks on every window, locks on the door, sometimes double locks, an alarm system. Sometimes a monitored alarm system. There's fence. There's a locked gate. And then the little creature. You don't even want any of the littlest creatures on the planet into your house. So you bring out an exterminator and pay them good money.
So the smallest of bugs can't get into your earthly dwelling. There's a lot of care and attention. Now, if we would take that kind of care to make sure nothing unwanted gets into our house, how much more important is our mind? But how careless we are in protecting our mind. Every day we're opening up the gates, the ear gate, the eye gate to this world and allowing this world to filter in its garbage, to bring in its trash, because we're not careful enough in protecting our minds. Here's what the Bible says, 1 Peter 1:13, gird up the loins of your mind. I recently spoke with a married couple and I was dealing with a man, and I said, I'm astounded. Rare have I ever seen in my lifetime a woman dealing with tragedy that is this strong. And here was his response. Pastor, as long as I've known this woman, she spent every ounce of energy she has in protecting her mind. And she is a strong Christian because she has a strong mind. Couldn't be any better stated than that right there. Now, Christians, there are going to be a lot of battles and temptations in life. And if we're not protecting our mind, here's what the world is doing. It's barraging us. So from the minute we wake up, whether that's a radio, music, news, TV, commercials, you walk into a mall, you walk into a store, and constantly you're hearing the world's music and the world's information and the world's negative news, and you go on Facebook and then Google Plus and whatever social media, and you're reading your emails, and constantly, all day long, something is negatively affecting your mind. You get with people and they have problems and they have criticism and negative words to say, and it's constant, and we're not doing enough. We can't control everything in life, but there's certainly a lot of things we can control. And if you are going to have this mind, all you have to do is say, what would Jesus Christ allow to enter into his mind? What kind of conversations would he participate in? What kind of TV programs would he watch? What kind of music would he listen to? Who would he interact with on Facebook? What kind of things would he read? And use that filter to say, I shouldn't be watching that. I shouldn't be listening. I should be protecting my mind from that. If you're a married man, you ought to be protecting your mind. If you're a married woman, you ought to be protecting your mind. If you're unmarried, you ought to be protecting your mind. If you're a young person, old person, there's no one here that find themselves exempt from the principle of protecting your mind. And we've dropped our guard. And because there's so much, now technology is so widespread and there's access to every kind of evil under the sun with just the push of a button. People that would have never found themselves in that kind of sin in decades past now have created addictions because they've refused to protect their mind. And you protect your mind by putting up obstacles. If you find something getting into your yard, you put up a fence. And if you still find something getting in your fence, you make sure to check for holes or gaps, or you hire the fence to make sure nothing is getting through that would present a danger to your family. That would make sense, right? So if you're in your home, you find something breaking through the cracks or some kind of evil infiltrating your home, you got to pinpoint the source and create a blockade there and say, I want the obstacles to be so great, so high, that we're not creating unnecessary addictions, temptations, and this ought to be a team effort. Wives, you ought to work with your husband. Husbands, you ought to work with your wives. Everyone should be very clear in their expectations. One of the safest things you can do, filters, firewalls. You can save money and disconnect. You could help your home by disconnecting some of it. You say, Pastor, are you telling me I should avoid all technology? I'm just saying, whatever you need to do to protect your mind, take those steps. Whatever it is, I don't know. I want to make sure in my home, I'm protecting my family, I'm protecting my children, I'm protecting my marriage, I'm protecting my mind. But I don't think the standard is higher for a pastor than it is for any other Christian when it comes to this mind. I don't want to participate in a conversation that make me think negatively towards another person, because that's not the mind of Christ. I don't want anything to enter the eye gate that would be impure, make me to think impure thoughts, because that's not the mind of Christ. I don't want to watch a commercial that make me jealous, because that's not helping me establish the mind of Christ. We've got to purify our minds with the Word of God. What's the Bible say? Psalms 119:9. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed to the Word. Now are ye clean, John 15:3, through the words which I have spoken unto you. Look what it says in Psalms, very familiar verses. Go with me to Psalms 1. We protect our mind by filling it with the Word of God, renewing it. Psalms 1:1, blessed is man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. Why? That's not protecting your mind. If you stand in the way of sinners or sit in the seat of the scornful, what is the issue? What is the problem? You've removed the filter and you're allowing negative things into your mind that are going to have a negative impact. Verse 2, his delight is in the law of the Lord. There's nothing in this book that will hurt you. To the contrary, it'll purify and cleanse your mind. Look what it says in Romans 12. More very familiar verses. But some that give us keys when it comes to protecting our mind and helping us to establish this mind. Romans 12:1. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercy of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. How do we do that? Verse 2. Be not conformed to this world, but be transformed. I'm glad he didn't stop there. We would say, how in the world are we supposed to be transformed? But he tells us, by the what? Renewing of your mind. Go with me to Philippians chapter 4, verse 8. All verses, not only that we know, but most of us know so well that we could quote them. Regrettably, it's not that we've put them into practice. Philippians 4, 8. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true. Now, this is an amazing filter when it comes to the mind. Here's how God tells us to protect our minds. Philippians 4:8. Here's the filter. It has to be true. It has to be honest. It has to be just. It has to be pure. It has to be lovely. It has to be good report. It has to have virtue. And it has to include praise. Then those are things that we can think on. Not very much, there's just not very much coming across the radio that would fit through that filter. There's just not that much coming out of TV that would fit through the filter. That's not man's filter, that's God's filter. He says, if it will fit into any of those categories, let it into your mind. If it doesn't fit, don't allow it to penetrate your mind. Because what all that does, it weakens your mind. Ladies, I'm going to try to help you tonight. Men deal with sin differently than women. And men can usually handle the consequences a little better for a little longer. You let Satan play with your mind, and when you're 45 and 50, you'll have an emotional breakdown. You need to be preparing your mind for your future, because as the body grows weaker, the mind more feeble, you're not going to have the strength at 50 or 55 unless you have developed this mind. Remember this, ladies, because at some point you're going to be 50. Remember this, ladies, because at some point you're going to be 55. You're going to need to be able to sleep. You're going to need to be able to smile. You're going to be a grandmother, and those kids need to see someone that's loving and kind and gentle and full of peace and full of mercy and full of grace. And if you're not protecting your mind in your youth, in your old age, you're going to have some serious emotional breakdowns. So preparing for your future, you need to say, now in my youth, I fill my mind with the Word of God. I protect my mind from anything that would harm it. And I ask myself, is this His mind? Does this fit in His mind? Is this acceptable to His mind? You know what it'll help you do? Turn off the TV. You know what it'll help you do? Turn off the radio. Well, it's just a talk show. Well, it's just sports. Well, just the commercials alone. It'll help you end certain relationships and friendships. Is that person a bad person? No, it just may be a bad relationship for you, because when the two of you get together, there's a lot of negativity. Have you ever realized that in life? It wasn't a bad person. It's just that connection seemed to, you seemed to give each other a platform to criticize and express negativity and to complain. And you have to say, no, I've got to protect my mind. I've got a marriage, I've got a family, I've got kids, I've got to protect my mind. I want them to see the image of Christ reflected in me, and I want them to have a happy mother, and I want them to have a positive environment. I've got to protect my mind. You've got to limit, ladies, this is especially common among ladies. Whatever you suffer in life, you refuse to suffer one time. A man is hardwired differently, and a man moves on much quicker than a woman moves on. And usually what a woman does, she suffers a tragedy and then resuffers it and relives it and resuffers it and relives it, resuffers. Here's the problem. Your body cannot discern between the tragedy and the memory of the tragedy. And your mind produces the same toxic chemicals that have to go through your organs that it did when you originally suffered the tragedy. Every time you relive it in your mind, your body reproduces those toxic chemicals. So there are some that haven't been divorced once, but 842 times. There are some that suffered abuse, physical, emotional, or sexual abuse, not once, but 1,000 times. And their body and their organs and their mind, all of that had to deal with it once and again and again and again and again. Because no one has ever placed a brake on that thought process and said, I've got to protect my mind in order to protect my future, in order to protect my children, in order to protect my home, in order to protect my marriage. I must protect my mind. That can't come in. I've got to think good thoughts, pure thoughts, clean thoughts. And here's the filter. Philippians 4:8 ought to be your lifelong filter. If you memorize any verse in the Bible, this ought to be the verse right here. Because this is my mental filter. How do I protect my mind? You pray continually. How many of you this week would have to say, this has been one of the best weeks of my life, mentally, emotionally, because prayer has kept my mind straight? Here's what prayer will do for you. It'll help you refocus on God and the goodness of God. Go with me to Hebrews chapter 13. This mind means you're going to have to protect your mind, because that's where Satan is going to attack. Hebrews 13:15. By him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God. Now, here's where it gets difficult. What's the next word? Oh, I know praising pleases God, so I must please God because I praise God occasionally. Isn't it amazing how we use other people as a point of reference, another church, another Christian? So, and not looking at God's word, the point of reference is continual praise. That's what pleases him. Not occasional praise, not church time praise, not devotion time praise, but offering him that sacrifice all day. Here's what we do. Walk outside, talk about the bugs, talk about the heat, talk about the weather, talk about... How many of you realize you live in Texas? Probably not a whole lot of reason to talk about the weather. You've lived here long enough to know. This is Texas. Gets hot, allergies, ragweed, oak, pollen, molds, ice water, throat scratches, itches, hurts, turns into fever. You get sick, you pass it around. So you're going to discuss it every 2 months, and you lived in Texas for 22 years. That doesn't make much sense. Continual praise. I praise God today. I have a pretty good life. I praise God for His goodness. Praise God for His creation. Praise God for salvation. Praise God it's free. Praise God He doesn't take it from me every time I complain. That protects my mind. You want to know how to protect your mind? Not through complaining, not through criticizing, not through griping, but through praise. That protects your mind. You know how to help your marriage, ladies? Protect your mind. Men, you know how to help your homes, your families, and your marriage? Protect your mind and protect their mind. The greatest tears that you're going to shed down the road are going to be tears of grief over not protecting the mind of your family, your wife, and your children. Now, parents, before I move on, I would like your total undivided attention for 1 minute. When you are careless with the minds of your children, they will grieve, and you will grieve with them for a long, long time to come. Well, I trust them. Can you trust yourself? What would you have done with that technology at 14, 15, or 16? When you go down that road, there's no reverse. When you put that in your mind, the pain lasts a lifetime. The only one that can protect their home is the spiritual leader of that home, because those kids don't have enough spiritual strength to protect their mind. You go back to Genesis, the woman was supposed to be a helpmeet. The man was supposed to be a provider, protector. Provider, protector. That protection was physical, emotional, and spiritual. You know why we brought... How mankind brought sin into the world? Because Adam failed to protect Eve from Satan. No, she's a good woman. She was a good woman. Matter of fact, she was a perfect woman. None of us have ever had that. We thought we did leading up to the vows. Then afterwards, we realized they were nearly perfect, just not totally perfect. But Adam actually got the perfect one. But he failed in the area of spiritual protection. He didn't protect her mind. And then she began to doubt. And then she began to question. And then she began to listen. And the next thing you know, sin came into the world. So it's not just protecting your mind. If you're the spiritual leader of the house, make sure you're protecting the minds of those in your house. Matthew 22, this mind, the pure, lovely mind of the Lord Jesus Christ. No room for sin, no room for lust, no room for evil, no room for pornography, no room for hatred, no room for envy. Look what it says in Matthew 22, verse 36. Master, which is a great commandment in the law? Jesus said to him, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart. That's what usually a preacher will quote, but that's not the entirety of the verse. Supposed to love God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind. So number one, we ought to protect our minds. Number two, we ought to purpose to love God with all of our mind. Now, how many of you thought love was an easy thing before marriage? How many thought, I got this down. I perfected this. Oh, yeah. My heart beats for her. My heart bleeds for her. My heart thinks of her. She has my whole heart. Yeah, because she had your mind. Your mind was consumed about thinking about that person. And here's the command. Christ said, the greatest command, love God with all your heart and all your soul. And the part that we forget is with all your... Now, hold on for a second. Let's talk about your mind for a moment. How much... loving Jesus this past week took place in your mind. Isn't it strange that in the flesh we find it easier to love a new bedroom set, a bigger house? Find it easier in our mind to love money, love a career, love a promotion, love a city, love a park, love a dog? Love a cat? Love a fish in a bowl? I mean, there are people who spend more time on the way to work. Did I feed that fish? No thought of Christ. What's the command? Love the Lord with all thy... This is the greatest command. Now, if this is the greatest command, you would think this is what we'd put the most effort into. I'm going to love the orchestra for Jesus' sake, and love the piano for Jesus' sake, and love the trumpet for Jesus' sake, and love the choir. So our mind's on the choir, and our mind's on the special music, and our mind is on the piano, and our mind is on that piece that we're going to play. But that's not where we're supposed to focus our love. Love him with all our... So our thoughts are to be on him and loving him. Let this mind, the way he loved the Father, we're supposed to love him. That's his mind. What did Christ say because he loved the Father? I do always those things that please the Father. Always. Now, when we're in love, we do those things that please that person we're in love with. If we love him with all our mind will be consumed with, does this please him? This mind. Pastor, what are you talking about tonight? I'm talking about your mind. That this is where we're losing the battle. Go with me to Philippians, back to Philippians 2, verse 5. Let this mind... Oh, it'd do us good this week to just sit down and consider the mind of Christ. Read the Gospels and consider how pure his mind was, how selfless, how sacrificial, how giving, how compassionate. This mind. Now, hold on for a second. Go back so we get the context. When it says having this mind solves the majority of our problems in life. Verse 1, if there be therefore any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels of mercies, fulfill you my joy that ye be what? Like what? What? Tell me that makes any sense. Mike, we're different ages. You have a different background. You have different likes. You have different tastes. Debbie, this is a real problem here because I'm a male, you're a female. We don't even spend time together. Grandma Claire... We're a different generation. Brother Sam, we have very little in common. What if you're in a church of 300 people? Well, maybe if the church was 15 people, that might be more simple. No, it's not more simple because you have a home of five. And you say, where do you want to go out to eat for dinner? And everyone has a different idea. Yep. We're going to buy living room furniture and everyone has a different opinion. And if you say, you guys want to run back and grab some soda, everyone wants a different flavor. How in the world can we be like-minded? Having the same love, being of one accord, one mind. You know what, children? You're supposed to have the same mind as your parents. Well, they're a different generation, and they don't understand me. And it's been a long time since they were 13. How many of you got married, and you thought you had something in common? You thought, when you said I do, you thought you actually had something in common. You both like strawberry shakes, but outside of that, you realize there's not a whole lot. You, of course not, because you're a male, she's a female. You don't share the same thought process. You're not wired the same way. You're from different towns, different churches, different backgrounds, different thought process, different tastes, different likes, different dislikes, different friends, different habits, different hobbies. And here's what the Bible command is. You're supposed to be like-minded. Now, in our flesh, there's no way we can obey this command. How can Tyrese and I be like-minded? How can Tony and I be like-minded? How in the world can Chris and I, Amy and I, be like-minded? Well, Christ tells us how to do it. You don't conform to my mind. I don't conform to your mind. We conform ourselves to his mind. So he solved the problem. He said, be like-minded, have one mind. That's written all the way throughout the New Testament. Members were supposed to be like-minded, having one mind, one accord. How do we do that? Through sharing his mind. So it's not getting everyone on page with my mindset. It's not getting everyone in my house to agree with me. It's not getting all the men on board with my principles. This is about saying the only way we can be like-minded is if we all share this mind, his mind. So, yes, we protect our minds. Yes, we purify them with the Word of God. Yes, we put up obstacles to the garbage, the smut, the filth of this world. Yes, we place emphasis on loving God with all our mind. But the bottom line is, we have got to put on this mind and plan to live daily with his mind, because if you don't, you're not going to have a good marriage. I don't care if you're childhood sweethearts. This mind. You know where problems start? I need him to understand me. No, you don't. Because he can't. That would make him very effeminate. You don't want to be married to an effeminate male. I need her to understand me. No, you really don't. That wouldn't be a good idea. You know what you need? Both people in that marriage to have the mind of Christ. And when the children say, I want to have the mind of Christ, and the teenagers say, I want to have the mind of Christ, and the parents say, I want to have the mind of Christ, then everyone can be like-minded, one mind, one accord. Go with me to Proverbs 3, verse 5, and on your way there, go to Isaiah 55. Now, here's the problem in life. Our mind and his mind are very, very different. Look how God puts it in Isaiah 55, verse 7. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him. To our God, he will abundantly pardon. For my thoughts, what's God say? They're not your thoughts. So whatever thought you're having, that is not what God is thinking. Whatever your best plan was, that was not his plan. Neither your ways, my ways. God wants to make this clear. Verse 9. For the heavens are higher than the earth. How many of you have ever been on an airplane 12,000, 15,000 feet up in the air? You realize you are a long, long ways above the earth. Your perspective is different. You're on a higher plane. God says, as the heavens are higher than the earth, that's how much higher my thoughts are than your thoughts, and your ways are so much lower than my ways. Now go with me to Proverbs 3, and here's a command. Proverbs 3, verse 5. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not unto thine own understanding. You've got to control your mind and say, I cannot choose my own way because of my logic, opinions, or great understanding. I'm supposed to trust God. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord, depart from evil. Now, more or less, simpler terms, here's what we're talking about. In life, you basically got plan A, plan B. Plan A is God's way, God's mind, revealed through his word. Now, here's what you don't have to do. You don't have to go through life guessing, wondering. Here's what we have done. We've made everything emotional-based and heart-based. And here's what I've seen a lot in Christianity. The ultimate deciding factor is whatever gives me inner peace. So ultimately, it doesn't matter if I come and read a verse or tell them Bible principle. That is topped by, I've got inner peace. So God said, that's not the way to choose. That's not the way to be guided. And now in life, we got plan A and plan B. There's God's will. That's plan A. His thoughts, his ways. So much higher, so much better. And then there's plan B. That's our way of thinking, our thoughts, and our ways. And here's what you got to do with your mind. You guys say, Satan's going to play with my mind. But plan A is always the right way, God's way, a different way, and it'll usually be in conflict with my way and my thoughts. So here's what I always do. I go with plan A and throw out plan B. It's that simple. Here's how I guard my mind. I go with God's way, God's thought, God's plan on the matter. Take something as simple as marriage. Now, here's what happens. Before salvation, it was always plan B. The flesh got used to plan B, pretty much established, you know, the chaos, whatever I feel like doing. It's amazing if you talk to people, go down and talk to your neighbor, go down and talk to someone on the street, go down and talk to anybody at work that you want to, and you realize plan B is whatever they feel like at the moment. Divorce, fornication, just whatever I feel like doing today. But then when you got saved, you got knowledge of this book, you got a Holy Spirit and guidance, you have principles that are supposed to take you through life, that's plan A, that trumps all other plans. No reason to meditate on it, no reason to be wise in your own eyes. You trust Him and lean not on your own understanding. So take something as simple as marriage. What's God's plan? You said it when you said the vows, for better, for worse, for rich, for poor, sickness and health, until death do us part. One woman for one life. That's God's plan. Man's plan is, that sounds like a pretty good plan, unless there's some kind of serious problem. Then we'll go with plan B. Oh, I don't want to deal with this for the rest of my life. I am out of here. Sounds like a pretty good plan to me. Yes or no? So man always has in the back pocket plan B, just in case he doesn't agree with God's plan. And here's what you got to say. God's plan is always better. God's plan is always higher. God's thoughts are not going to be in agreement with my thoughts. So when it comes to the battle for the mind, I'm going to pre-establish a few principles. And one of those principles is God's way always trumps my way. So when this world and its philosophy, it has battered and played with my mind, and I want to argue with the Bible principle, I've already predetermined God's plan, plan A, trumps plan B every time. Let this mind. When you have this mind, that's plan A. My mind, plan B. This mind, being you. This mind must rule. This mind must dominate. This mind must determine. This mind must decide. So ultimately, here are the suggestions and here's the fact. Protect your mind. Purpose in your heart to love God with all your mind. But in the end, you must plan to live with this mind and say, today I wake up with this mind. So when my mind will and does go against His written, revealed word, I scrap my mind, my plan, my thoughts, plan B, and go with plan A. Because it's been working for a long time. And it'll work again in my life. Because God's plan always works.
The Capital City Baptist Church is located at 1300 Red Street in beautiful Austin, Texas. We'd invite you to join us if you're in town. 10 a.m. Sunday mornings, 6 p.m. Sunday night, and 7:30 each and every Wednesday evening. Our phone number is 512-447-9454, but I'd like to point your attention specifically to our website, capitalcitybaptist.org. There you'll find information regarding service times, the staff, and all about Capital City Baptist Church. Additionally, you can find an archive of previously preached messages there for you to download, enjoy, and pass on to friends and family. Again, that website is capitalcitybaptist.org. That's capital with an O, citybaptist.org. Be sure and tell a friend and do your best to join us again for Pulpit Echoes, a ministry of the Capital City Baptist Church.